everyone. Welcome to our weekly Persuasion Influence Negotiation call. My name is Kurt Mortensen. Welcome, first-timers. Today is the 18th of April as we talk about what's going on with you, helping you out with your challenges, answering some of your emails, and just making you better persuaders. You want to double your income, you double your persuasion skills. It's literally can be that easy sometimes as far as you really focus on what people want. Last week we talked a lot about reading people when it's time to ask for their business. We get a lot of questions, and this is always top of the list when you teach influence and working with people that are running a business or entrepreneurs, is the whole price issue. And it's not to sugarcoat it here, but when you hear it's too expensive, it pretty much means you've blown your – well, it means two things. You've either blown your presentation or it's a lie. And we know that two-thirds of the time that's a lie. They're just trying to get rid of you. Your job is to create that perception of value. I want to give you a few tools to be able to do that, to build that value. Because in the seminar setting, when I'll sell a $20 bill for a dollar, okay, pretty simple. People run up, and the first person gives me a dollar, I give them 20 bucks. And I ask them, well, don't you need to think about it? Do you need to talk to your spouse, go to my website? Do you want to read my book first? Don't you need more information? And they're like, well, no, it was a no-brainer. And that's true with your business or your service. When it's a no-brainer, people don't need to think about it. Price should not be the issue. So you need to figure out with your product, your service, what you're doing is how do you make it as easy to exchange? Is it $100 for $500? Are they exchanging $200 for $1,000? I mean, look at infomercials, the way they package. If you want to learn about pricing and setting people up for the perception of price, infomercials are a great resource. Because here's an interesting tidbit is 90% of all infomercials fail. So if you're seeing one again and again, you know it's successful. It's a good study in persuasion. If you watch the infomercial, you might end up buying. I guess that's the danger of an infomercial. But let's talk about price, that resource that people bring up again and again, because we're going to assume, you probably shouldn't do that, that it's a true objection. That price is the issue because you haven't built the value. So the goal here is how do you get that perception of value? Because when you get to price, even if they can't afford it, they should want it and know the value is there and want to get it maybe at a later time if maybe they can't afford it. There's a difference between the two. So let's talk about that perception, that the human brain as far as pricing is concerned. Because deep down, people know you get what you pay for. And that's true with price. Now, as we get into the human brain, understand that we have this perception, we have this benchmark, where when we see something, we'll automatically assign a price to it. It's just kind of how we are. We're going to talk about the law of contrast a little bit. And when I show you a blank, if I held up a blank CD, imagine me holding up a blank CD, and I ask an audience a lot of times, well, what's this worth? And I'll get answers from, 10 cents if it's a blank CD. If some people say $10 if they think it's music. Some people think if it's, personal development CD, they might put $50. If it's software, it might be $200. Some people say, well, what's on it? Well, that depends. Is that the perception? You have to build the value. Are they comparing you and your product and your service to a used car, or are they comparing it to a Rolls Royce? I mean, that's what you have to ask yourself is what are they comparing it to? What are the expectations? Just like when you go to a mechanic, and the car's smoking, it's making noises. I say, oh, I'll fix it for a couple $100. Go to lunch, you come back, it's $1,000. You're upset. Now, if you came in with the smoke and the sound, they said, oh, I don't know if I can fix it. Might as well be shopping for a new car. You come back, it's $1,000, and you're grateful. Same bill, two different reactions. That's why we have this contrast. It's almost like if you've seen those diet infomercials or even the pictures, they have the before and after picture. That's contrast, where the before picture is black and white, and they're sticking their belly out, and they're frowning, and it's kind of grainy, and the after picture is quality, they're sucking it up, they're tanner, it's in color. It's a subconscious thing. We don't think it through a lot of times, but that's the perception. So let's talk about some ways to really dramatically change pricing and how people perceive pricing. I mean, if you talk about that knee-jerk reaction, Take, for example, Starbucks. When they came on the coffee scene, coffee was 50 cents. You paid 50 cents, maybe a buck for coffee. Coffee was, and they have all of a sudden five bucks for coffee. People are like, oh. And so they changed the perception to, you walk in, there's different regions, a different quality. They changed the names, different perceptions. It's almost like a winery. It was a different feel. They had to do that because the perception is coffee doesn't cost that much. They had to change that perception, and that's what your job is too. So let's give you a few tools to be able to do that. Of course, zap me a question anytime or ask me over the phone. I'm more than happy to answer these because, again, this is the one you're always going to run into, the old price thing. So the first is called, it's actually an old closing sales technique, which actually still works. Not all of them do. So it's called reduce it to the ridiculous. This, especially when you're talking about high-end items, very expensive items that will last people over the years, this is important. Basically, you're reducing it to the ridiculous. So if, let's say you're selling life insurance and they were looking at the $500,000 policy and you knew they needed the $1 million policy. So you're saying, well, the difference between the two, what we're talking about is 7 cents a day. What we're talking about is a cafe latte a week. What we're talking about is a can of soda a day just to kind of reduce it because they're just looking at that big, the big price. And if you were doing photocopiers, for example, and it was an extra $1,000 and then when they're looking at. So, you know, what we're talking about over this one's going to last over the next 10 years. We're just talking about 10 cents a week or a dollar a week or 3 cents a week, whatever. That's how you reduce it down so it makes more sense to people. Oh, it's really not that big deal. Otherwise, they're looking at the $3,000 price tag or whatever it is. Oh, you break it down over 10 years, over 5 years or whatever it is. It makes it more perception. That makes it more realistic that that investment is worth it. So that's one way to do that is reduce it to the ridiculous. Another option you have is what's called sweetening the pot. We see this in infomercials all the time to where they're talking about it, you're getting excited, you're looking at it, you're sitting on the fence, and they say, you've heard it before, but wait, there's more. So if you're doing any meetings or if you're marketing on the internet, you have to understand this one principle. It's really important that your bonuses, this is true in negotiation too, that your bonuses or your concessions or whatever it is, are people will always buy for the bonuses more than the original product. You never, say in a negotiation or offering on the internet, but say, hey, you get all this for this price because it diminishes the value of what you're offering. Like, no, this is $100, but wait a minute, you get this, it's a $50 value, and you get this, it's a $30 value, you get this, it's a $200 value, so you get $300 in bonuses. And so they're thinking, just like the infomercial, like, wait a minute, I'm spending $100, I'm getting $1,000 worth of stuff, and that's more exciting, it makes more sense to people. So in a negotiation, in a home-based business, whatever it is, you say, okay, here's the investment, but you know, making a decision, you get this, this, and this, you get $300 in bonuses, you separate it out. It increases the value, and it gets more people to purchase. Price becomes a non-issue. I'll give you an example. Imagine a bake sale. It's an actual study. So the first day, they have bake sale, they have cookies and cupcakes and various treats. So the first day, they say, okay, here's a special. Today, you get a cupcake and two cookies for 75 cents. Okay, that's what you get, cupcake and two cookies. 40% of the people that were given that offer bought, so 40%. Next day, different group of people, same exact treats. This was the offer. Well, today you get one cupcake, and that one cupcake is 75 cents. And as a bonus, when you purchase that cupcake, you get two cookies. Now, our logical mind knows that's the exact same offer, but it went from 40% to 70%. I hope you're catching that. It's very, very important to understand. Break it down. Do not put it, because that was, a lot of times if it's our own business, we can get all this stuff. You don't want to give them a laundry list. It decreases the value. No? Just like that infomercial. Here's your main thing, but wait, there's more, especially on the internet. You look at marketing offers that are successful on the internet, they'll have three or four bonuses, and a lot of times people are just buying from that one cool bonus. Now, if it's a bonus, it needs to be relevant to the offer. Can't be something that's useless or something you find in your garage, but something that's relevant to what they're doing. A lot of times, if you don't have bonuses, you can contact people that will provide free bonuses that helps market them too. That's one way to do it. Is it a what you want is something that has low cost but a high perceived value. Can you provide a free electronic report that you've created or borrowed or asked somebody permission to use? Is it free delivery, gift wrapping, expedited delivery, extended warranty, a free consult, an extra CD, an extra coaching session? What is it that you can provide, access to a webinar? Any of those things could sweeten the pot. Any of those things. So that's something to can separate it. Do not put it in one package. That is part of it. The third way, so we've talked about reducing to ridiculous. It's one way. Second way is you sweeten the pot. Separate it all out, what everything's worth. This is $1,000, and that way it establishes the value. The second one is called DITF, which is just a fancy way to say door in the face, which is not to be confused with foot in the door, but that's a whole other call. This one's called door in the face. It's just a social psychology term, but very powerful. What we're finding, when you, especially with pricing, when you start really high, that establishes the value. So door in the face means you start high, people are like, no, it's too expensive. They, you know, they're going to say no, and then you follow up with a second smaller request, and they usually say yes. I'll give you some studies, and then we'll talk about application here. Before the study, let me just give you a couple of examples. Let's talk about dresses. A dress, if you're wearing a dress. Let's say you're looking at a dress. It's funny that there's four price tags on there. They don't put them on top of each other. They put them right underneath each other. Oh, wait a minute. This one's starting at $500. Now it's $300. Now, because it establishes the value. It's a $500 dress, but $500 dress, but you're getting it for $100, just like the infomercial. They're going to start at $1,000 and bring you down. They've established the value and sell it for $100. And this is true in a negotiation. You want to start as high or as low as you can because you know they're going to say no, and then you come back with a more reasonable request. Here's some examples, some fun ones. So university, they go up to people. There's blood drive today. There's sign in the vans there for American Red Cross, and there's volunteers. And so they would go up to people and say, hey, will you donate blood? Okay, pretty simple. And depends on time and a few other things, but hey, will you donate blood? Now, when they said that, 31%, about a third of the people, said, okay, I'll donate blood. Now, here's what gets interesting. The next time around, they went up to people and said, hey, will you donate blood every 2 months for the next 3 years? Wow, I mean, that's a big request. They're expecting to get a no. Donate blood every 2 months for this next 3 years. So they would say no. I said, well, okay, will you at least donate today? Can you donate right now? 49% said yes. So it almost went up 20 points, about 18 points. 18% it jumped by doing it that way. So negotiation or pricing or asking people for their time, door in the face works very, very well. Here's another one. Came down at the university. Hey, will you do a two-hour survey? We're looking for people to do a two-hour survey. People are like, no, that's too much. Will you at least do a 15-minute survey? 50% said yes. Now, when they just initially asked people, will you do a 15-minute survey? Only 25% complied. But when they asked for the two-hour, no, then the 15-minute, it doubled the amount of people that said yes. Because sometimes with our own product or service, we want to start low, but the reality is, if you want to establish the value, make it a no-brainer to say yes to price, you want to be able to start as high or as low as you can, especially in negotiation, but in pricing as high as you can, and then you give reasons for deductions. Here's another example. If you went to buy car insurance, for example, they say, well, you know, I'm just going to round off some numbers. Well, for this situation, your family, it'll be $2,000 a year. You're like, whew. So they've established the value. But wait a minute. Your children are on the honor roll, right? Okay, good. Wait, you're a non-smoker. Wait, you also have life insurance through us. Oh, well, we can get that down to $1,100 a year. Okay, rounding numbers off. So you're getting $2,000 for $1,100. They do that on purpose. So always try to start high. We're going to get a no. And then come back with a more reasonable request. We can even do this with your kids. Hey, will you? I need you all day Saturday to help with this and this. Well, can you at least give me an hour Saturday morning? It's going to double the amount of, I guess, reduce the resistance quite a bit for that 1 hour than if you started it that way. And I've done this with my college students. It's interesting, there's a trend with college students, the whining and complaining. So if I assign a 10-page paper, complain, whine, moan. So now you just, it's pretty simple. You assign a 20-page paper, they whine and complain, say, okay, tell you what, if you do good research, make sure it's succinct and have these many resources, I'll let you do a 10-page paper. They're excited, they're cheering. That's what I wanted, but there's two completely different mindsets there. Whether it's a teenager or college class or pricing or asking for time or negotiation, those are the three things that matter. Okay? So we talked about reducing it to the ridiculous, sweetening the pot. So reduce the ridiculous. It could be daily, it could be weekly. Sweeten the pot, we're separating the bonuses or part of the, we're not putting all the whole offer together. And then we've talked about door in the face. Those are all three different ways. You can use all three, not every time, but at least use one of them in the pricing, because when you get the price, you want to establish a value where, hey, I'm getting $1,000 worth of stuff, or for $100, it becomes a no-brainer, makes the decision much easier. Now, if I'm trading $200 for $200, I'm going to have to think about that. Now, if I'm trading $200 for something I perceive that costs $100 someplace else, that becomes very, very difficult. Pricing is an issue. Now, another thing you can do with price is give them a little safety net, which could be a guarantee. We see this quite a bit at sometimes at car dealerships, usually audio video stores. Someone's looking at something, looking at the TV, I don't know. I need to shop around. And if they're trained properly, they'll say, you're welcome to shop around, but you know what? We have a low price guarantee. If you find it cheaper anywhere else in the next 3 months, we'll triple it back, triple the difference back. So there's a safety net there. Not that they're going to look. They're probably not going to look, but they're like, oh, well, if they're willing to offer that guarantee, I know I'm getting the best deal. They're sitting on the fence. That's another way to kind of ease them into it, especially. Can we only use guarantees when people are sitting on the fence? But it helps out. So those are three. Remember those. Reduce the ridiculous, sweeten the pot, and the door in the face. If you want to kind of get more into this, you can listen to the Law of Contrast. That's the audio in the Magnetic Persuasion series that will dig deeper on that. All right, let's talk about questions. You can just zap them to me via the net or ask me over the phone about questions about what we talked about today or things that you're running into. Question here about contrast again, as far as the application. Now, this is more of a negotiation scenario. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but you always want to start, when you are marketing or selling someone face-to-face, you always want to start with the most expensive things first. Let me give you an example. When you go buy a car, they don't start with the undercoating or the CD player, MP3 player, or the extended warranty, because once you've bought a $20,000 car, what's $500 for undercoating? I don't know what it costs. You know, we don't even know what undercoating is. What's an extra $100 for an upgraded CD player? What's an extra? It's not that big of a deal. But you would never pay $500 for undercoating if they start with that first, because that's too much. But when you $20,000, or if you went to buy a suit, they don't show you the ties first. They don't show you the shoes first. But if you spent, $800 for a suit, what's $70 for a tie? Now, you probably never space $70 for a tie on its own. It'd be too expensive. But with that contrast, it does not seem that much. So that's true in a negotiation. That's true in a retail situation. Start with the highest ones first. Great questions. Any other questions? A question about charity and donations. Yeah, we see this all the time with charity. Same type of thing. There's a couple ways we've seen it. Door to door, someone's asking for money. You're like, I'll give $5. And they say, your neighbor just gave us $200. statistically speaking, you're going to give more. We've also seen it in the little mailers they send out, you know, suggested this $250. When they do that, usually you might have only given 20, but now you're going to give 50. That is contrast. They've done this at TV stores. They've done this at billiard tables. So you walk in and you want the $500 TV. They will show you the $10,000 HD TV Dolby surround system first, because that adjusts your perceptions of value and what you want. Statistically speaking, you will leave with a $1,000 TV. So that's why we're always starting high, adjusting perception. That's why in a negotiation, we like to say, I got a question about negotiation, and I'll answer that in a second, but in negotiation, they're there to negotiate. You need to start as high as you can. If you don't, it's going to hurt your ability. We like to say to ourselves, well, let's just do the real number. It doesn't work out well when you do that. Each side is expecting to negotiate. You do need to negotiate. Now, applying this to negotiation on this question I'm getting, what you want to do is, let's talk about a house. If you were selling a house and there are certain things you didn't want, the play set, maybe the piano in the living room, the cupboards in the garage, the dishwasher, you know, whatever it is. Maybe there's some other things of value. You don't want them, but you don't say that. Those are your concessions. And so it says that you get everything for this price. Say, no, the house is worth $200,000. The place that's worth $200,000, the cupboards are worth this, the piano's worth $1,000. You keep those separate so they can get $3,000 worth of extra, $5,000 worth of extra things for the price instead of putting it all together. That's how it would be used in a negotiation. Good questions. Any other questions? Now, one thing, and just, you know, bring up your questions if you have those. You also see this questions on time. I mentioned time early on. I didn't really address that. We don't use it too often, but you'll see it in airline announcements. They're trained in the airlines. They'll never say, well, there's a two-hour delay. There's a five-hour delay. No, it's, well, give us 15 minutes. Give us 30 minutes. Give us another 20 minutes. That a little bit of the time gets less angry people than saying it all at once. You see it at Disneyland or any amusement park. You get in a line. They will never show you how long that line really is. So you see the line, and you get into it. You think you're almost there. You go into a new room, and you're, oh, and a whole other set of ropes to go through. You're almost there. But a whole another set, because that's contrasting a little time. That changes the perception of time. And part of that, too, is you'll notice that distractions also reduces the perception of time. A lot of times amusement parks, Disneyland will have videos, things happening. Grocery stores are trying this more where there's a little more distraction, things to look at and read on the checkout to distract you, so you don't really know how long you are waiting for that line. So that is how it applies to perception of time. Any other questions? Send them to me or ask me over the phone. Post the recording at whypersuasion.com, and you can listen to that if you missed the call or you want to review some of the things that we talked about. That will definitely help you out, because price, if they balk at the price, it's your presentation. You did not build the value. You didn't put a cost on the problem that you are going to solve. Because remember, we have that perception, what we expect to pay. And this happened to me. We had a piano. My wife loves to play the piano, and I only had it for a couple weeks. And two of the keys quit working. It was a new piano. So, of course, we asked the kids, and they had no idea how that happened. If you're a parent, you know how that works. So we called the piano repair person right out of the Yellow Pages. They showed up, elderly gentleman, sat down, touched this, moved this, picked this thing up, and removed a pencil from behind the keys. Literally under a minute. Fixed, done. Wow. Now, let's talk about perception. My perception as a consumer is like, really, 30 seconds? How much is he going to bill me? Because my perception is it shouldn't be that much. Now, what's the perception of the repair person? Well, the perception is I've been doing this for 40 years. I knew exactly what to look at. That's why I could do it so fast, and I drove all the way out here. But now here's the reality. If he would have charged me $100, I would have paid it. But I probably never would have called him again, and he knew that. So he adjusted the perception. He talked about it. He says, look, I usually charge $100 for this type of visit. I've been doing this for 40 years, so I can do it really fast. You know, I'm not going to charge you on this visit. I just need to let you know that to maintain the investment on this piano, you need to have it tuned every 4 months, and I'd like to be that person. Can I call you in 4 months to do that? Give us a little refrigerator magnet. Done. He's made a lot more money. Now, did you see what happened there? He put a value on it, $100. So there's a reciprocity thing going on. He soothed my ego by telling, you know, he's been doing this 40 years. And he got permission to call in 4 months. Well done. That is picture-perfect persuasion, definitely. All right, good questions. So that, don't let price bother you. Now, as an entrepreneur, one last thing. For some reason, entrepreneurs never charge enough. They get all antsy about the quality of the price of their service. And no. Double your price. Take a deep breath. You're worth it. Build the value. That's what you need, because get too antsy about pricing of things and doing this. No, you're worth it. You're worth a lot more than you're charging. Think it through. That is a whole mindset issue. Price, don't let price be the issue. All right, so that's our Persuasion Influence Call for the week. So we'll be here next week. Let us know. Send us an email. WhyPersuasion.com. There's certain things you want me to hit on and talk about as we go more into the different laws of persuasion. But with that, everyone, have an incredible week. I'm rooting for you. We still got time to make 2012 your year. Get out there and make it happen and persuade with power. Good night, everyone.